إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth and maybe hopefully final session from Kitab al-Siyam, the Book of Fasting from Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani. And tonight, our discussion will center around the remaining hadith from the Book of Fasting related to those times or those days or occasions in which it is prohibited to fast. Yani, in the previous session we had talked about some of the virtuous days during which it is encouraged that one should fast, and that should, yani, was intended to be a reminder to us that even though the month of Ramadan has ended, fasting has not ended, and indeed fasting is from the most virtuous of acts of worship that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we know from a number of narrations of hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And tonight what we want to remind ourselves about is that while there are many occasions and days which have been indicated in the sunnah that we are encouraged to fast, there are also occasions or days when it is prohibited or disliked to fast. So we want to talk about those tonight. Before we do that, quickly, we want to review some of the points that we discussed in the last session. Last week we mentioned seven hadith. Five of them related to matters of fasting that is encouraged, that's mustahab, that's yani rewardable, commendable, praiseworthy, superior, yani virtuous days of fasting. Five of those hadith related to that, and the sixth and seventh hadith come under the topic of tonight, that is prohibited fasting, times or occasions in which, circumstances in which it's prohibited to fast. As far as those occasions which we are encouraged to fast, in those five hadith, we mention a number of things. Now, from amongst them, virtuous occasions or times of fasting, number one.
The day of Arafat.
The day of Arafat, number one. Number two.
And the reward for the day of Arafat.
Okay, besides the reward, we just want, what are the days or the occasions encouraged to fast? Day of Arafat is one.
Ashura.
Ashura, two. 3 days in the middle of the month, three.
Mondays.
Okay, Mondays was mentioned also, four. Huh? Wasn't mentioned in the hadith Thursdays, but naam also, uh-huh. I mean, the hadith that we mentioned last week didn't mention Thursdays, mentioned Mondays. Naam, those are four. What else? What about yani,
huh?
Okay, the encouragement to fast a lot in the month of Sha'ban. That's five. Uh-huh. What about this month? Six days of Shawwal. 6 days of Shawwal. That's six. And one more point that we mentioned last week. And there were five hadith which mentioned seven matters. The seventh one was, yani, the encouragement, the great reward for fasting. Yani, one day, fi sabilillah.
Oh, yeah.
One day, fi sabilillah. Naam. Okay, so those were seven things that we mentioned. Yani, the fasting the day of Arafah and the day of Ashura. Fasting on Mondays, fasting 3 days in every month, fasting especially in the month of Sha'ban, 6 days of Shawwal, and fasting, fi sabilillah. These are the points that we mentioned last week. And yani, just for the sake of time, yani, we won't go into the details of them. As far as the prohibited occasions for fasting, we mentioned two hadith last week. One of them was prohibited fasting on the 2 days of Eid, the day of Eid al-Fitr and Nahr, Yawm al-Nahr, yani day of Eid al-Adha.
And the, we have 4 days, right?
We have 1 day. 1 day is prohibited to fast on the day of Eid. Yawmul Eid. As far as other days that, yani, those other days, Ayyam al-Tashriq, we'll talk about them, inshallah, today, inshallah. What else? There was one more point, one more hadith. Days, 2 days of Eid, and Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr, and also the prohibition for women.
Yes.
What prohibition?
During the menstrual zero.
No. Fast, prohibited for a woman to fast without permission from her husband if he's present. If he's present. Now, that's what we talked about last week. And tonight we want to start with Hadith number 663 in Arabic. Yani in English translation that we're reading from, it's Hadith number 559 on Nubayshata al-Hudhali radiallahu anhu. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيام التشريق أيام أكل وشرب وذكر الله عز وجل رواه مسلم. يعني on the authority of نبيشة الهذلي, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the days of تشريق are days of eating and drinking and the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Okay, first, yani, there's the mention of Ayyam al-Tashriq. Okay, so the meaning of Ayyam al-Tashriq, what is intended by this, is what? Ayyam al-Tashriq. The 3 days after Eid al-Adha, yani, the 3 days after Eid al-Adha. Eid al-Adha is which day of the month? Eid al-Adha is which day of the month?
The
10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, the month of Hajj. The 10th day is Eid al-Adha. The 3 days after that, the 11th, 12th, and 13th of Dhul-Hijjah. This is what we mean by Ayyam al-Tashriq. Yani, the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Yani, the 3 days after the day of Nahr, the day of sacrifice for those who are on Hajj, or the day of Eid, yani for those who are not on Hajj. Okay, this is the first hadith, and these two hadith came together, yani hadith number 663 and hadith number 664, and the Shaykh, he mentions the rulings or points from them together. So we're going to read the second hadith, hadith number 664, in the English translation that we're reading from, it's hadith number 560. And this hadith is an Aishata wabn Umara رضي الله عنهما قال لم يرخص في أيام التشريق أي يصمنا إلا لمن لم يجد الحدية رواه البخاري. يعني on the authority of Aisha and Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with both of them, the two of them said لم يرخص, يعني it had not been made permissible, there was no permission given, لم يرخص في أيام التشريق, during the 3 days, the days of Tashriq, 11th, 12th, and 13th, there was no permission given, and يُصَمْنَا, that those days be fasted. That fasting take place during those days. There's no رُخْصَة, no permission to fast during those days, إِلَّا لِمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ الْحَدْيَةِ, except for the one who didn't find an animal for sacrifice. يعني, except the one who had no means to sacrifice an animal. Yani that's the exception. Yani no permission was given to fast during the days of Tashriq, except for the one who had no means to make the sacrifice. And we're going to talk about this a little bit. This hadith, Rawahu al-Bukhari, reported by al-Imam al-Bukhari. Okay, the Shaykh says, ما يستفادوا من الحديثين, what may be benefited from the two hadith. Number one, حرمة صيام أيام التشريق عند جماعة من السلف ويستثنى منه التمتع المتمتع and والقارن ومن تعذر عليه الحج. يعني the first point that he mentions from this hadith is that it is prohibited. Yani it's forbidden, and according to some scholars, it's disliked. The fasting of the days of Tashriq, according to a group of the Salaf, a group of scholars from amongst the first generation of the Muslims. And the exception from this, yani from this prohibition of fasting during these days, is for the mutamatti' and the qarin. Yani the mutamatti' and the qarin, yani if they are unable, yani ta'adhara alayhi al-hadi, yani they were unable to make a sacrifice. They didn't have the means or the ability to perform a sacrifice. Why do we say the mutamatti' and the qarin? Because these two people, or these two groups of people, yani these two descriptions of people, are people who are required to make a sacrifice during the Hajj. So we know that there are three methods of performing the Hajj, and two of them require the person who goes by one of those methods or those routes, they have to make a sacrifice. So if one of those people is unable to make a sacrifice, then because they are unable to make a sacrifice, they are allowed to fast during the days of Tashriq. Otherwise, yani, if they are able to make a sacrifice, then they come under the general ruling of prohibition of fasting during these days. And these people, they are excused, because if they are unable to make a sacrifice on the 10th, it's required for them, in place of that sacrifice, to do what? Huh?
Yeah.
To fast? How many days?
10 days.
3 days during Hajj, and 7 days when they return home. Well, there are only 3 days remaining on Hajj. The 11th, 12th, and 13th. So those people are excused from the prohibition. They are exempted from the prohibition because they have to fast, as Allah mentions in the Quran, 10 days. Yani, as a replacement, instead of the sacrifice that they are unable to make. Those 10 days Allah stipulates in the Quran. 3 days during Hajj, and 7 days when they return home, and they are only 3 days from the fast. Yani, that is the 11th, 12th, and 13th. So they are exempted. Yani, the mutamatti', the one who's performing tamattu', Hajj, meaning that they are performing Umrah and Hajj, but separating them in two ihrams. Or the qarin, they are also performing Umrah and Hajj in one trip, but they are staying in ihram, from the Umrah to the Hajj. These two, both who are making Umrah and Hajj, either in two separate ihrams or in one, they're required to make a sacrifice. If they're unable, then they are allowed to fast during those days of Tashriq to fulfill the obligation of fasting 3 days during the Hajj and 7 days when we return home. And this is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 196 ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions specifically, فَمَنْ تَمَطَّعَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ إِلَى الْحَجِّ, yani the person who enjoys some relief in the performance of Umrah and Hajj, joining them together, but separating them with a break in between, getting out of the ihram, فَمَسْتَيْسَرَ مِنَ الْحَجِّ, then whatever is easy for them, yani, then these people, they have to make a sacrifice. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ فَسِيَامُ ثَلَاثَةِ أَيَّامٍ فِي الْحَجِّ وَسَبَعَةٍ إِذَا رَجَعَتُمْ تِلْكَ عَشْرَةٌ كَامِلَةٌ. So these people, they are required to make a sacrifice because they are performing Umrah and Hajj in one trip. And they went one time to Mecca and they are getting two benefits, Umrah and Hajj. So they are required to make a sacrifice. But if they didn't find a Hajj, yani a sacrifice, then they have to fast 3 days during Hajj. And those 3 days will be the 11th, 12th, and 13th, and 7 days when they return home. This makes 10 complete days of fasting. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, so the Shaykh says, yani the first point is hurma, yani the prohibition of fasting during the days of Tashriq according to a group of the Salaf, with the exception of the one who's performing tamattu or the one who is performing yani qiran. If they are unable to make a sacrifice, then they are allowed to fast during these days. The second point is the hadith of Aisha, yani the second hadith of Aisha ibn Umar, yani indicates that it is permissible, yadullu ala annahu yajuz as-siyamu fi ayyam at-tashriq liman lam yajid al-hadya ghayra yawm an-nahr, yani that this hadith of Aisha ibn Umar, yani indicate that it is permissible to fast during the days of Tashriq for the one who is unable to make the sacrifice. Yani, they are exempted from the prohibition. They are not exempted from the day of Nahr, yani the day of sacrifice, the day of the 10th day. They are not exempted. Yani, that day is prohibited to fast. That's the day of Eid. So it's prohibited, but they are exempted from the prohibition of yani ayyam al-tashriq. They are allowed to fast on those days. Okay, this is... Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The next hadith, the third hadith, yani hadith number 665 in the Arabic text that we're reading from, hadith number 561 in the English translation. And in this series, it's the 35th hadith that we have read from the book of Siyam. 35th hadith. يعني عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تخصوا ليلة الجمعة بقيام من بين الليالي ولا تخصوا يوم الجمعة بصيام من بين الأيام إلا أن يكون في صوم يصومه أحدكم رواه مسلم. I'm hearing yani some. طيب. This hadith reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him. May Allah be pleased with him, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said, "Do not single out, لا تخصوا يعني خاصة, don't make the night of Jummah a special night during which you perform qiyam, yani praying during the night, praying in the night, from amongst the other nights. Don't yani single out the night of Jumu'ah for standing in the night, yani to the exclusion of other nights, yani making it as though this is a special night. وَلَا تَخُصُّ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ, neither should you single out the day of Jumu'ah as a special day for fasting from amongst the rest of the days. Yani singling out this night or singling out this day, making it distinct from the other days as a special night for standing in prayer, qiyam, or for fasting during the day. Illa أن يكون في صوم, yani the exception to this, yani fasting on Yom Jumu'ah, the exception to this is that if it is a fast, يصومه أحدكم, yani a fast that you normally would be fasting, regularly you were fasting on this particular day. يعني إلا أن يكون في صوم يصومه أحدكم. Here the Shaykh, he says, حرمة تخصيص ليلة الجمعة بقيام ونهارها بصيام غير المعتاد والجمهور على قراها. يعني that it is prohibited. This hadith indicates the prohibition of singling out the night of Jumu'ah. And the night of Jumu'ah, by the night of Jumu'ah, we don't mean yani after you pray Salatul Jumu'ah, then that night. The night of Jumu'ah means the night before the day of Jumu'ah. The night before, right? So, the night before Jumu'ah is the night of Jumu'ah, Laylatul Jumu'ah. So, don't, yani the prohibition of singling out the night of Jumu'ah for standing in prayer, Salatul Qiyam, or its day, the day of Jumu'ah, for fasting. غَيْرَ الْمُعْتَادِ, except that it came at a time that a person normally used to fast. A time that they normally used to fast. Yani, for example, if a person always used to fast on the middle of the month, 13th, 14th, 15th, and yani, one of those days was Jumu'ah, then there's no harm. That means that this is something that they were used to do. وَالْجُمْهُوَ عَلَى قِرَاهَا, yani the majority of scholars hold that it is disliked. Yani, in other words, there's difference of opinion. Is it absolutely haram to single out Jumu'ah, to fast it individually? Or is it makruh? And he said, Al-Jumhur, the majority of scholars hold that it's makruh. The second point is Salatul Raga'ib fi awal laylatul Jumu'ah min shahr Rajab bid'atun. Yani that the salat known as Al-Raga'ib, which is a salat that the people invented, they made up, has no basis in the Sunnah or the Sharia, in which they would pray during the first night of Jumu'ah, yani the first Jumu'ah in the month of Rajab. Yani the first Jumu'ah that came in the month of Rajab, the night before Jumu'ah, they would perform this prayer. Praying in the night, and this is a bid'ah, has no basis in the Sharia, and it's contrary to the hadith and the discussion, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, do not single out Jumu'ah for standing in the night, to the exclusion of other days. Not in the month of Rajab or any other time. And it's not permissible to do so. And so this hadith indicates the prohibition, or yani that it is disliked to single out the night of Jumu'ah for standing in prayer in the night, unless a person Yani used to stand in the prayer regularly in the night. Then if he came on Jummah, no problem. Or singling out the day of Jummah for fasting individually. Yani singling out Jummah for a fast without yani coupling it to the fast of other days along with it. So I hope it's clear. Yani we shouldn't single out the day of Jummah for fasting. Rather, if a person is going to fast on the day of Jummah, as we see in the next hadith, they should fast the day before or the day after. This hadith number 666 in Arabic text and 562 in the English translation that we're reading from, وَعَنْهُ يعني عَنْهُ meaning what? What does that mean? عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ يعني as we read from the previous hadith, وَعَنْهُ also from him, that is Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لَا يَصُومَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ يَوْمَ الْجُمْعَةِ إِلَّا أَن يَصُومَ يَوْمًا قَبْلَهُ أَوْ يَوْمًا بعده متفق عليه. يعني also from Abu Hurairah, may Allah be pleased with him, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يصومن أحدكم يوم الجمعة. يعني the meaning here is what? Huh? يعني now it's emphasis, no تأكيد. لا يصومن. يعني this prohibition is emphasized by the noon being doubled at the end of it. لا يصومن. Absolutely, no one of you should fast on the day of Jumu'ah unless, except أن يصوم يوما قبله أو يوما بعده, except that that person fast a day before it, يعني that is on Thursday, or a day after it, that is on Saturday. This hadith is agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And this is the 36th hadith in this series from Kitab al-Siyam that we have been reading from. And the Shaykh mentions 2 points from this hadith. Number one, جواز سيام يوم الجمعة إذا وقع ضمن سيام يصومه المرء. The permissibility, this hadith indicates, يعني, well first it indicates, يعني what we read from the previous hadith, the prohibition of fasting, singling out Jummah, but then it gives us some further clarification. يعني this prohibition of fasting for Jummah, there's an exception to it, and that is, except if the person fasts along with it. They couple it with the fasting of a day before or a day after it, agreed upon as being authentic by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So the Shaykh, he says the permissibility of fasting the day of Jumu'ah if that day of Jumu'ah, fasting that day of Jumu'ah falls within the fasting that a person normally fasts. Yani falls within, yani some fasting that the person normally used to do. If it falls within that fasting, then there is no harm in it. Meaning that they used to fast regularly some days, and from amongst those days, it came on the day of Jumu'ah. Either at the end of those days, or at the beginning of those days that they normally, yani used, or that they were fasting. If it came amongst a group of fasting days together with Jumu'ah, either one day before it or one day after it, then this is permissible. Second point, من أفرض يوم الجمعة بالصوم وجب عليه الفطرة, that whoever singled out the day of Jumu'ah for fasting, meaning they did not fast the day before it, and they didn't intend to fast the day after it, then it's obligatory upon that person to break their fast. And it's obligatory to break their fast. And this, although the Shaykh doesn't mention here, and it's mentioned in other explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, and it's based upon the permissibility of fasting, the permissibility of fasting the day of Jumu'ah, and the prohibition of singling out the day of Jumu'ah, and the obligation to break the fast if a person is fasting Jumu'ah alone. It came yani from the hadith of Juwayriya radiallahu anha, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dakala alayha yawma jumu'atin wa hiya sa'ima faqala laha asumti amsi qalat la qala tasumina غَدًا قَالَتْ لَا قَالَ فَأَفْطِرِي رواه البخاري. يعني in a hadith in Bukhari, يعني it's reported from Juwayriya, may Allah be pleased with her, the Prophet ﷺ entered upon her on a day of Jumu'ah, one of the days of Jumu'ah. It happened to be a day of Jumu'ah, and she was fasting, and he said to her, did you fast yesterday? She said, no. He said, are you fasting tomorrow? يعني do you intend to fast tomorrow? She said, no. Then he commanded her, فَأَفْطِرِي, then you must break your fast. So this is yani this hadith reported by Al-Bukhari yani is the basis of the Shaykh saying what? Yani if a person singled out Jumu'ah for fasting, it's obligatory upon them to break the fast. Not allowed to continue that fast once they came to know that yani it's yani prohibited to single out Jummah yani for fasting. Okay, concerning this matter, I want to add a point here. Yani Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah in as-sahiha, silsila hadith as-sahiha, in the sixth volume, hadith number 1074, he mentions a hadith عن ليلى امرأة بشير ابن الخاصية قالت أخبرني بشير أنه سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أصوم he said أصوم يوم الجمعة ولا أكلم ذلك اليوم أحد يعني ليلى the wife of بشير ابن خاصية she said أخبرني بشير he informed me that he asked the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, I fast on the day of Jumu'ah and I don't speak to anyone on that day. The Prophet ﷺ said to him, لا تصوم يوم الجمعة إلا في أيام هو أحدها. Don't fast the day of Jumu'ah except that it is one of a group of days that you are fasting. Like يعني in the hadith and the discussion. That you fast the day before or day after it. وَأَمَّا أَنْ لَا تُكَلِّمَ أَحَدًا فَلَا عُمْرِي لِأَن تَكَلَّمَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَتَنْتَهِي عَن مُنْكَرٍ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَن تَسْكُتَ رَوْهُ أَحْمِدٍ Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as far as you're not speaking to anybody, yani singling out the day of Jummah not to talk to people, he said, I swear by my life that you speak, yani by enjoining good or forbidding wrong, yani it's better than that you remain silent. Yani there's no great virtue in silence. Rather, a person should be speaking, enjoining the good, forbidding the wrong, yani encouraging people to do good, reminding one another, and so on. Yani we shouldn't think that is some kind of virtue in remaining silent. The reason why I mention this hadith is not for the hadith itself, but more importantly for the comment of Sheikh al-Albani concerning this hadith, and it relates to our hadith under discussion, yani that we said that it's not permissible to single out the day of Jumu'ah for fasting. And if anybody did so, they have to break the fast. Sheikh al-Albani, after mentioning this hadith in silsila hadith al-Sahiha, he said, هو صريح الدلالة أنه لا يجوز صيامه وحده ولو صادف يوم فضيلة كعشورة وعرف خلافا للحافظ. يعني here the Sheikh, he makes a point that يعني is of importance, I think. يعني he said that this hadith is clear in its indication that it's not permissible to fast the day of Jumu'ah alone. It's not permissible to fast the day of Jumu'ah alone. We already said that, right? But look what he said after that. He said, وَلَوْ صَادَفَ يَوْمَ فَضِيلَةٍ Even if that day of Jumu'ah happened to occur on a day of virtue, a day of excellence, like the day of Ashura or the day of Arafah. Shaykh is saying, even if the day of Jumu'ah came on the day of Arafah or the day of Ashura, singling out the day of Jumu'ah for fasting alone by itself is not permissible khilafan lil-hafidh, yani in opposition to the view of al-hafidh ibn Hajj al-Asqalani. So the point here is yani that Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah rahmatul wasi'ah, may Allah have mercy upon him, his understanding of this prohibition is the absolute prohibition of fasting on the day of Jumu'ah alone, even if it came on a virtuous day. If the day of Arafah came on the day of Jumu'ah, fast the day before or fast the day after it. And you don't fast it alone, according to the opinion of the Shaykh, rahimahullah.
So if it was a virtuous day, the Shaykh is saying that the fast the day before or after along with it?
He's saying that you can't single out the day of Jumu'ah. Yani that is prohibited to single out, to fast the day of Jumu'ah, wahdahu, alone, singling it out. Even if it came on a virtuous day. Meaning that, then, not fasting alone means that you have to fast some days with it, either before or after. Huh? Is it clear?
No.
So, yani, in any case, this is like from the opinions of Sheikh al-Albani that yani is not really the yani majority view. But anyway, it's his view just for our knowledge. Yani, anybody can look into it and yani review it more carefully if you have a need to. Okay, after this, اللهم استعان. Hadith number 667 in Arabic. In our English translation, we're reading from Hadith number 563. It's 37th Hadith in our series from Kitab As-Siyam. وعنه. وعنه meaning? عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا انتصف شعبان فلا تصوموا. رواه الخمسة واستنقره أحمد. نعم. This hadith also Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, reported from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, إِذَا أَنْتَصَفَ شَعْبَانِ, يعني if the middle of Sha'ban came, يعني if the first half of Sha'ban is finished, and now we're entering into the second half of Sha'ban, فَلَا تَصُومُوا, then do not fast. يعني do not fast in the second half of Sha'ban. Sheikh Al-Albani says in his checking of Mishkat, where this hadith is mentioned, وَاسْتَنْكَرَهُ أَحْمَدُ وَلَكِنْ سَنَدُهُ صَحِيحِ. يعني Al-Imam Ahmed considered it to be munkar, يعني a type of weak hadith that is rejected. However, Sheikh Al-Albani said, however, its sanad, its isnad, its chain of narrators, is sahih. We're going to look at just a little bit. Naam. First thing is that from amongst the narrators, the collectors that collected this hadith is Al-Imam Abu Dawood. And there's a lot of discussion about the narration that's in the Sunan of Abu Dawood. Al-Imam Nawawi says concerning this hadith, yani in his explanation of Sahih Muslim, or in a hadith similar to this in I'm going to skip that because for the sake of time, what's more important is what Al-Imam Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani says in the explanation of Fath al-Bari. He says, قَالَ جُمْهُورَ الْعُلَمَاء يَجُوزُ السَّوْمُ تَطَوُعًا بَعْدَ النِّصْفِ مِنْ شَعْبَانِ وَضَعَفُوا الْحَدِيثِ الْوَارِدَ فِيهِ. يعني Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani says the majority of scholars hold that it's permissible to fast, voluntary fasting, بعد النصف من شعبان. يعني after the first half of Sha'ban, it's permissible to fast voluntarily. In spite of this hadith, he said, because the majority of scholars held this hadith to be weak. Now note, we just said that there's difference of opinion about this hadith, yani concerning its authenticity. Yani رواه الخمسة means that it was reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nasa'i. But Ahmed considered it to be weak, munkar. Sheikh Al-Albani said, nonetheless, yani this hadith is sahih. The isnad is sahih. After this, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani says, قَالَ أَحْمِدْ وَإِبْنِ مَعِينَ إِنَّهُ مُنْكَرٌ. Yani not only Imam Ahmed, but Yahya ibn Ma'in, one of the great scholars of hadith, he also said that this hadith is munkar. And Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi considered this hadith to be da'if, and the proof of it is that there is a permission to fast, yani during the second half of Ramadan, except in a more authentic hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, don't fast a day or two before Ramadan. And that hadith is an indication of what? That fasting in the second half of Ramadan is permissible, Sha'ban is permissible. And that hadith is stronger than this hadith. Yani that hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So Al-Bayhaqi said that this hadith, the prohibition of fasting a day or two before Ramadan, is a proof that it's permissible to fast in the second half of Sha'ban, except that you shouldn't fast a day or two before. Other scholars, yani, also considered the hadith to be weak, even though some of the scholars said that the hadith is, yani, authentic. Concerning Al-Imam Ahmed's opinion that it's munkar, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani also said that this opinion of Imam Ahmed, yani, can be overlooked. يعني لا نظر لقول أحمد إنه منكر لأن أبو داود سكت عليه في سننه ما نقله عنه في غيرها الإنكار. يعني that الإمام أبو داود, who narrated this hadith from Imam Ahmed, and in other places he mentioned that Imam Ahmed said this hadith is منكر, when he narrated the hadith in his Sunan, الإمام أبو داود, when he narrated this hadith in the Sunan of Abu Daud, he didn't mention the opinion of Imam Ahmed that it's munkar. Yani indicating that Imam Abu Dawud considered the hadith to be authentic. So it is as though Yani Imam Abu Dawud was not in agreement with this opinion of Imam Ahmed concerning this, and perhaps the reason for that is because Imam Ahmed said in a narration from him that the narrator of this hadith is thiqah, and we don't reject anything from him except this particular hadith, and he didn't make clear why he rejected it. Therefore Imam Abu Dawud considered that opinion of Imam Ahmed, that this hadith is munkar, yani not to be acceptable. From this hadith, yani the Shaykh mentions one point, and that is the prohibition of fasting after the middle of Sha'ban, except that it comes in agreement with a day that a person was used to fasting habitually. In other words, yani, based on the opinion of those who considered this hadith to be authentic, then some scholars hold the view that it's prohibited to fast after the second half of Sha'ban. Except, yani, if a person is fasting days that they normally used to fast regularly, and it came, yani, in the second half of Sha'ban, whether it was a Monday or Thursday or some other day that people normally fast, then there's no, yani, there's no prohibition of fasting in that time. Concerning fasting on the second half of Sha'ban, yani, just quickly, I want to mention from Faid al-Qadiyya, the explanation of Al-Jami al-Saghir, Al-Imam al-Manawi, he says that the scholars differed concerning voluntary fasting in the second half of Sha'ban, and there are four opinions. Yani, there's difference of opinion about this. He said one opinion is that it's permissible to fast, yani, in the second half of Sha'ban, no matter which day, even if it's the day of doubt, yani, which we're not sure if it's the first day of Ramadan due to cloudiness or otherwise. The second opinion, Ibn Abdul Barr, he said that the imams who are known for giving fatwa, they didn't hold it to be any problem in fasting, even the day of doubt, yani voluntary fasting in the second half of Sha'ban. And the third opinion is that it's not permissible, whether it's the day of doubt or other than that, it's not permissible to fast in the second half of Sha'ban. And the fourth opinion, that it's prohibited to fast the day of doubt alone, and the other days of fasting are permissible. And from this you can see that there's a great difference of opinion about fasting the second half of Sha'ban. And what is the most correct view concerning this is the permissibility of fasting in the second half of Sha'ban. Yani either, yani because of those who said that the hadith is weak, or those who said that it's authentic, yani then still the point is that there's more authentic hadith which clarify what is the prohibition in the second half of Sha'ban that's prohibited. It is fasting a day or two before Ramadan or the day of doubt. Otherwise, fasting in the second half of Sha'ban is permissible. After this, hadith number 668. In Arabic, hadith number 668. In English translation, we're reading from hadith number 564. وَعَنْ صَمَّائِ بِنْتِ بُسْرٍ رضي الله عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا فيما افترض عليكم فإن لم يجد أحدكم إلا لحاء عنب أو عود شجرة فليمضغها رواه الخمسة ورجاله ثقات إلا أنه مضطرب وقد أنكره مالك وقال أبو داود هو منسوخ. This hadith is the hadith of great yani difference, yani there's a lot of discussion, yani unlimited discussion concerning this particular hadith, yani its authenticity and yani what rulings may be derived from it. We're going to just look at a little bit of it, and I'm going to refer to other sources to read about it in detail for whoever is interested. Yani this hadith is the hadith of Sammah bint Busrin, may Allah be pleased with her. She said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not fast on Saturday. La tasumu yawm as-sabti. Yani here, yani just to be clear, la tasumu, yani the la here is what? La nahiya. La nahiya. Yani do not fast on Saturday, yawm as-sabt. Illa fi mafturida alaykum, except if it is a fast that has been made obligatory upon you. Meaning an obligatory fast, like fasting the days of Ramadan, yani Saturdays came right during the month, or days that a person is making up, yani from days that they missed obligatory, or that which became obligatory for them due to a vow or something like this. If it's not an obligatory fast, it's a voluntary fast, then do not fast on Saturdays. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا لِحَا عِنَبْ. And if a person on a Saturday didn't find anything to eat except the skin of a grape or the twig, يعني عودة الشجرة, a twig from a tree or a bark from a tree, يعني a piece of wood from a tree, they didn't find any food to eat except this, فَلْ يَمْضُغْهَا, then the person should bite on it, should eat it. And he should eat the skin of the grape or should eat the twig from a tree in order to what? To break, yani, so that they would not be fasting. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, that is Ahmed, Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, and Nisa'i. And then Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani, yani, the collector of the hadith of Bulugh al-Maram, yani, he says, وَرِجَالُهُ ثِقَاتِ, and the narrators in the chain are reliable narrators, ثِقَاتِ. They are strong narrators. إِلَّا أَنَّهُ مُضْطَرِبُ. Except that the hadith is مُضْطَرِبُ. Yani, meaning that there's some irreconcilable contradiction in the chain or in the matan. Meaning there's some difference in the way the chain came or in the wording of the text that you can't reconcile. There's no way to explain it away. It's contradictory. Contradictory. Yani, way the chain came or the matin came. And this is what we mean by muttarib. So Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani is saying the narrators of the chain of this hadith are reliable narrators, but there's some contradiction in the chain that's irreconcilable. Yani we can't explain it away. That's one point. Second point, وَقَدْ أَنْكَرَهُ مَالِك. Imam Malik rahimahullah considered this hadith to be rejected, munkar. Al-Hafiz considered it to be muttarib. Imam Malik considered it to be munkar. Rather, Imam Malik, as reported in some of the places, said that this hadith, yani, is kadhib. Likewise, قال Abu Dawud huwa mansukh. Al-Imam Abu Dawud, rahimahullah, said the hadith is mansukh. Meaning that, yani, it's authentic, but it's abrogated. Abrogated by something else that came after it, yani, due to which its ruling became, yani, inoperative. Yani it's not yani applicable. Like I said, there's a lot of discussion concerning this hadith. I'm going to mention a little bit of it. And the first thing I'm going to say is that Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, in Irwa al-Ghalil, has a complete, thorough study of this hadith. Yani hadith number 960 in Irwa al-Ghalil, 4th volume, page 118, starting from page 118. And in that discussion, lengthy discussion, Shaykh al-Albani mentions, from amongst the things that he mentions, وَقَالَ الْحَاكَمْ صَحِيحٌ عَلَى شَرْطِ الْبُخَارِي قُلْتُ وَهُوَ كَمَا قَالَ وَأَقَرَّهُ الذَّهَبِي. Okay, so now we have Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani saying that the narrators in the chain are reliable, but it's muttarib, it's contradictory. And Imam Malik saying that it's munkar, and Abu Dawud saying it's mansukh. These are three different imams of hadith rejecting this hadith for some reason. In face of that, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih, and he mentions from amongst those who said it's sahih is al-Hakim. Al-Imam al-Hakim, rahimahullah, he says the hadith is sahih according to the condition of Imam Bukhari. And Shaykh al-Albani said, وَهُوَ كَمَا قَالَ, and it is as he said. It is sahih according to the condition of Imam Bukhari. وَأَقَرُّهُ الذَّهَبِي, and Al-Imam al-Dhahabi said he agreed with Al-Hakim. So now three imams also on the other side saying that the hadith is sahih. And there are more imams like talking about this hadith, but just summary of the matter. Again, I refer whoever is interested in really studying this hadith, because it is a hadith of great importance, but it's time consuming. But the one who has a desire to do so, look at the takhrij of this hadith in Irwa al-Ghalil, where Shaykh al-Albani has given a takhrij that is a scholastic, ilmi takhrij. You won't see the like of it in any other place. Yani for this particular hadith. Okay, concerning the saying of Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, رِجَالُهُ ثِقَاتِ, yani the narrators are reliable except that it's muttarib. Shaykh al-Albani says in Tamam al-Manna, al-Idtirab al-Mushir ilayhi, huwa min al-Naw al-Ladhi la yu'athar في صحة الحديث لأن بعض طرقه سالم منه وقد بينت ذلك في إروال in the place that we mentioned earlier بيانا لا يضع مجالا للشك في صحته. Sheikh Al-Albani makes a strong claim here in Tamam Al-Manna. He says the ittirab that is being pointed to by Al-Hafiz is a type of ittirab that doesn't have any effect on the authenticity of the hadith, and that is because some of the chains came free of any ittirab. And he said, I have made this clear in Irwal Galil, hadith number 960, with a clarification that doesn't leave any room for doubt about its authenticity. وَقَدْ أَنْكَرَهُ مَالِكُ Malik said that it was munkar. Al-Imam al-Nawwi, fourth Imam, yani coming on the other side, Al-Imam al-Nawwi said, لَا يُقْبَلُ هَذَا مِنْهُ وَقَدْ صَحَّحَهُ الْأَئِمَّةِ يعني Al-Imam al-Nawwi says, يعني this is also mentioned by Al-Shaykh al-Albani al-Galil in the above mentioned place. He says that Al-Imam al-Nawwi said, we do not accept this opinion of Imam Malik saying that this is hadith is munkar, while the Imams, many Imams of hadith, declared it to be sahih. As far as the statement of Al-Imam Abu Dawud that it's mansukh, قال أبو داود هو منسوك قال السنعاني يعني الإمام محمد علي السنعاني in his explanation of بلوغ المرام يعني his explanation is entitled what is his explanation entitled huh سبل السلام يعني one of the most important explanation of بلوغ المرام الإمام السنعاني says فلعله أراد أن ناسخه قوله عن ابن عن أم سلمة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان أكثر ما يصوم من الأيام يوم السبت ويوم الأحد وكان يقول إنهما يوم عيد للمشركين وأنا أريد أن أخالفهم reported by النسائي and others and that's the hadith that we're going to look at يعني coming up soon يعني السنعاني says that perhaps the reason why Imam Abu Dawud said that this is hadith is mansukh is because of the hadith of Salama in which radiallahu anha she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't used to fast any days more than he would fast on Saturday and Sunday and he used to say that these 2 days are the days of Eid yani the holidays of the mushrikeen Christians and Jews and I want to oppose them yani so I fast on their day yani of celebration I will not be celebrating I will be fasting yani perhaps what was intended by Abu Dawud is looking at that hadith. The Prophet ﷺ used to fast on Saturdays and Sundays, so maybe this hadith, prohibition of fasting on Saturday, is abrogated by the next hadith. However, the next hadith is also contested concerning its authenticity. In any case, from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions, yani in our book under discussion, that it is disliked to single out the day of Saturday for fasting, except that that day comes in agreement with a day that a person normally used to fast. And it came amongst at some time that the person normally used to fast. So if it happened to be on a Saturday, then there is no harm. And in any case, this hadith, again, also, like I said, requires a lot of discussion. And perhaps we'll send any some references that you can go back to read about it in detail. What some of the earlier scholars and what some of the later scholars said about this hadith. Summary of the matter is that there's a big difference of opinion about whether or not this hadith is authentic or not. Sheikh Al-Albani holds strong on his position that the hadith is sahih, the absolute prohibition of fasting on a Saturday, illa fima afturda alaykum, except that it's an obligatory fast. If it's not obligatory fast, not permissible to fast on Saturday at all. Yani individually, singly, or collectively, joined to other days or not. And as I said, yani the authenticity of this hadith, Sheikh Al-Albani gives a tremendous research concerning it. Who wants to go back to Irwa al-Galil, hadith number 960, to look at it. Otherwise, there's a good discussion about this hadith yani with yani on the video recording of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, having a discussion. And it's not as some of the people build it as the great debate. Rather, it was a discussion between two imams of hadith, two scholars of hadith, and they showed a lot of respect for each other even though they differed about this. Yani the ruling that came from this hadith, if it was sahih, then what does it actually mean? Yani it is worth listening to. I don't remember how long the video is. I haven't listened to it recently. But maybe it's like half an hour or something like that. It's worth the half an hour of listening. So this hadith, yani again, yani the hadith clearly shows the prohibition of fasting on Saturday. Sheikh Al-Albani says that it's sahih. And other imams said that it was sahih. And Shaykh al-Albani understands from this hadith that it's an absolute prohibition, whether singling out Saturday or coupling it other days. Majority of scholars hold that it's prohibited to single it out, to single out the day of Saturday for fasting. But if a person fasts other days with it, then there's no harm. And it's mentioned in the Ikhtiyarat al-Fiqhiyya of Shaykh al-Albani and his chosen fiqh opinions. And it's mentioned that the majority of the scholars of Hanafiya and Shafi'iyya and Hanabila consider it disliked to single out Saturday for fasting, but not if it's coupled with other days. Otherwise, if this hadith is not sahih, then it's permissible to fast on Saturdays singly or otherwise. Wallahu a'lam. The next hadith is hadith number 669. In the Arabic text that we're reading from, in the English translation, we're reading from hadith number 565. This is the hadith that we alluded to, that Al-Imam As-San'ani said that perhaps this hadith is the reason why Al-Imam Abu Dawud considered the previous hadith to be abrogated. Yani abrogated by this hadith, the hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana akthara ma yasumu min al-ayyami yawm al-sabti wa yawm al-ahadi. That Salama, may Allah be pleased with her, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he mostly, the most that he used to fast from amongst the days was Saturday and Sunday. And he used to fast on Saturday and Sundays more than any other days of the week. وَكَانَ يَقُولُ And he used to say, إِنَّهُمَا That indeed these 2 days are يَوْمَ عِيدٍ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ These are the days of celebration, of eating and drinking and celebrating for the mushrikeen. وَأَنَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَهُمْ And I want to oppose them, I want to be different from them. And this is a general rule, that we found in lots of hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that he used to do things intentionally, specifically for the purpose of being different from the disbelievers. To be different from the disbelievers. To distinguish, the Muslim from the kafir. He said, أَنَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَهُمْ I intend by this to be different from them. This is their day of celebration, eating and drinking. I will be fasting on these days, Saturday and Sunday. أخرجه النسائي وصححه ابن خزيمة وهذا لفظه this hadith was reported by النسائي in the Sunan al-Kubra in the Sunan al-Kubra, not the Sunan al-Sughra, and it was declared to be sahih by ibn Khuzaymah, his sahih, the sahih of ibn Khuzaymah, and this wording came from ibn Khuzaymah. And by the way, before we look at the point from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions one point, Ibn Khuzaymah considered this hadith to be sahih, and Shaykh al-Albani considered this hadith to be weak. And he mentioned it in Silsila al-Hadith al-Da'ifa, in the third volume, page 219. Shaykh al-Albani considered this hadith to be da'if. And this is in accordance with him considering the previous hadith to be sahih, because these hadith don't go together, right? Unless there's some way to reconcile between them, as some of the scholars, and he looked at the possibilities of how you can reconcile between them. Otherwise, one hadith saying absolute prohibition of fasting Saturday, and the other hadith saying the Prophet ﷺ used to fast on Saturday and Sunday more than any other days. That doesn't seem to go together. In any case, Shaykh al-Albani, he's looking at the hadith from the perspective of the isnad, and he's saying that this hadith is weak. From this hadith, if we consider it to be authentic, then from it we might understand istihbab siyam yawmay as-sabt wa ahad على الاجتماع وعلى الانفراد. Here in the book it says that from this hadith we understand that it is mustahab. How do we understand it's mustahab to fast on Saturday and Sundays? How do we understand that? From what?
The hadith is sahih.
If the hadith is sahih, so what makes it mustahab? Did the Prophet say it's mustahab to fast on Saturday and Sunday? From his amal, from his action. He used to fast on Saturday and Sunday more than any other day. So that indicates must be something good to do, right? So the Shaykh is saying, so it's mustahab for those who consider this hadith to be sahih, fasting on these 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. He says, al ijtima'a, joining them together, fasting Saturday and Sunday. As-San'ani says in his explanation, Subh al-Salam, al infirad wal ijtima'a, whether a person fasts them individually or whether they join them together, fasting Saturday and Sunday, coupled together. Wallahu a'lam, it seems as though the indication of this hadith doesn't necessarily require that they fast together. But as San'ani says, that he may be fasting them individually, sometimes fasting on Saturday, sometimes on a Sunday, or he may be fasting them together, coupling them together, fasting them back to back Saturday and Sunday. Both of them are possible. Yani for those who consider the hadith to be sahih, then it's mustahab to fast on these days individually or collectively. As San'ani also, he mentions in Subul Islam, the prohibition of fasting on Saturday, yani from the previous hadith, may have been yani from the beginning, yani awwal al-amr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yani prohibited the people from fasting on Saturday, and that was at the time when he, in the beginning of his mission, when he used to yuhibbu muwafaqata ahl al-kitab, he used to do things in agreement with ahl al-kitab, the people of the book, yani to be like them, to be different from the mushrikeen, the other mushrikeen. But in the end, after the establishment of Islam, we found that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do things to be different from them. So San'ani is saying in Subul Islam that perhaps the first hadith is sahih, and the meaning of it was that it was in the beginning of Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yani he used to yani yuhibbu muwafaqata ahl al-kitab, and in the end he used to oppose them. Okay, so the meaning would be yani that here in the beginning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not fast on Saturdays and Sundays because that was their holiday and they were celebrating, so he wouldn't fast on that day. But in the end, when he wanted to oppose them, and that was their holiday, and they were celebrating and eating and drinking, then he would fast a lot on Saturdays and Sundays. That's how Al-Imam As-San'ani explained yani, the apparent contradiction between the rulings that may be derived from these two hadith. After this, hadith number 670 in the Arabic text that we're reading from, and hadith number 565 is the 40th hadith in our series of hadith from Kitab As-Siyam. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam naha an sawmi yawmi arafata bi arafata. Rawahu al-khamsatu ghayra al-tirmidhi wa sahahahu ibn Khuzaymata wal-hakim wa stankarahu al-uqayli. And Uqayli, he mentioned this hadith as being munkar in his book, Al-Du'afa, yani the weak ones. And Shaykh al-Albani also, in his collection of hadith, of weak hadith, Silsila hadith al-Da'ifa, he also considered this hadith to be weak. Yani the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited fasting on the day of Arafah, bi Arafah. Yani if a person is at Arafah. Prohibiting fasting the day of Arafah for the people who are on Arafah, as opposed to the people who are not on Arafah. This hadith is reported by Al-Khamsa, yani Ahmed, Abu Dawood, Nasai and Ibn Majah, yani not including At-Tirmidhi, and it was considered to be sahih by Ibn Khuzaymah and Al-Hakim in his Mustadrak. And Uqayli, as we mentioned, considered the hadith to be munkar, to be weak, and Shaykh al-Albani also considered it to be weak. So from this hadith, the Shaykh mentions that it is disliked to fast on the day of Arafah, bi Arafah lil Hajj, yani for the person, the pilgrim, who is on Arafah, on the day of Arafah, performing pilgrimage, that is disliked for him to fast on this day, and that is so that he will not become weak and unable to perform the requirements of that day, of that great day, the day of Arafah. And the requirements of that day primarily is that a person is going to go to Arafah, yani in the morning of that day, and stay on Arafah, yani from the whole of the day, from yani Dhuhr until Asr until Maghrib. And that day should be yani full of yani a person being engaged in yani dhikr and dua and recitation of the Quran and worship. And it's called Wukuf Arafah, which suggests that a person is going to be standing at Arafah, and not that it's required to stand and that one can't sit. But a person will be standing, making dua, making dhikr, and whatever, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Arafah, and they will require strength. So, yani, it is said that it's disliked to fast on the day of Arafah for the person who's on Arafah, and that is so that they will not become weakened from the fast and not able to perform the worship of that day. And it is also mentioned yani authentically in some narrations it's reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during his performance of the Hajj on the day of Arafat, it's proven that he was not fasting. And it is a proven fact that he was not fasting. However, this hadith, the prohibition of fasting on the day of Arafah for people who are there performing pilgrimage, this hadith, wallahu alam, is not authentic. That the Prophet ﷺ did not fast on Arafah is a fact, no doubt. But is it haram to fast on Arafah? That is what we're going to look at just briefly. First, I'm going to mention that Shaykh al-Albani says in Tamam al-Manna. Yani I'm mentioning the references so that if a person is really interested in studying some of these issues, we're just passing through it quickly, then you can go back to the source and find the discussion. In Tamam al-Manna, on page 410, Shaykh al-Albani says, "Wa isnaduhu da'ifun." Yani the isnad of this hadith is da'ifun. "Wa madaruhu 'inda al-jami'a 'ala Mahdi al-Hajri wa huwa majhul." And this hadith, the isnad centers around one narrator named Mahdi al-Hajri, and all of the scholars agreed, yani, that the core of the discussion of the ruling of this hadith is based on this narrator who is majhul, yani he's unknown. Unknown doesn't mean we don't know who he is. We know who he is, but unknown means yani majhul al-ayn or majhul al-hal, means that the person is not verified as a good, yani acceptable narrator. Yani two types of majhul. But in any case, he says here that he's majhul. Shaykh al-Albani said that, and then he said, كَمَا قَالَ النَّوَوِي. Yani, this was also the view of Al-Imam Nawawi, that this narrator Mahdi is majhul. And Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajj al-Asqalani in Talkhis, 6th volume, page 469, also said this narrator is majhul. And also from those who said that he is majhul, now this is not Shaykh al-Albani's kalam here, but from amongst the other scholars who said this narrator is majhul, is Ibn Hazm in Al-Muhalla, and also Al-Zahabi in Mizan, and also it's mentioned from Abi Hatim, and also from Yahya ibn Ma'in, all of them saying that this narrator is majhul, which, yani, it's pretty much agreed upon that the narrator is majhul. And from amongst them, the Shaykh al-Albani mentioned is An-Nawawi and Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. وَلِذَٰلِكَ دَعَعَفَهُ ibn al-Qayyim وَالشَّوْكَانِي وَغَيْرُهُمَا وَهُ مُخَرَّجْ فِي الْأَحَدِيثِ الدَّعِيفَةِ. Hadith number 404. Yani in Silsila Hadith al-Da'ifa, Shaykh al-Albani mentions under Hadith number 404 this particular hadith and this discussion, yani the full discussion of it came there. He says that Al-Imam ibn al-Qayyim considered this hadith to be da'if because of that narrator who's majhul, and he mentions Zad al-Ma'ad, and Al-Imam al-Shawkani also considered this hadith to be da'if. So from amongst the scholars who clearly stated the hadith to be da'if, from the past is Ibn al-Qayyim and Al-Imam al-Shawkani, and from our time today, Shaykh al-Albani considered this hadith to be weak, and from amongst those who said that the narrator, that this the isnad centers around, is majhul, a lot of scholars said that, yani, and from amongst those that we have mentioned, Ibn Hazm, Al-Zahabi, Abu Hatim, Yahya ibn Ma'in, and others. Okay, concerning this hadith, yani Shaykh al-Albani has some yani point concerning this that I just want to read, and then we go to the final hadith. Shaykh al-Albani says, "Da'afahu ibn al-Qayyim fi Zad al-Ma'ad, wa ibn Hazm in al-Mahalla. Fal-hadith da'ifun." Yani Shaykh al-Albani is saying that from the Imams of the past, yani Ibn Hazm and Ibn al-Qayyim considered this hadith to be weak, not only me, and therefore this hadith is clearly weak. وَلَا يَصِحُّ أَنْ يعني تَثْبُتْ بِهِ حُكْمًا. And we cannot confirm or affirm a ruling. Yani it's not correct to affirm a ruling based on this hadith, yani which is weak. And that ruling that it is prohibited to fast on the day of Arafat for the pilgrim who is on Arafat, yani, based on the apparent indications of this hadith. Yani, in other words, yani, saying that it's haram to fast on Arafat based on this hadith is not acceptable. The hadith is weak. وَعَلَى ذَلِكَ فَيَجُوزُ لِلْحَجِّ أَنْ يَسُومَ يَوْمَ عَرَفَةٍ. So based upon this, it's permissible for the pilgrim to fast on the day of Arafat, as long as he is strong enough to be fasting, yani it doesn't affect his performance of the acts of worship that are required on Arafat. And if he is not strong enough to be fasting and still, yani, perform the worship that's required on Arafat, then it is better that he do not fast. And that, yani, he seek strength from, yani, not fasting that day to perform the manasik of Hajj. And then Shaykh says, and it is confirmed that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his action, that he was not fasting on the day of Arafat in the farewell pilgrimage. Yani, so from this hadith, yani, the apparent meaning of it, if it was sahih, is that it's prohibited to fast on Arafat for the pilgrims. But since the hadith is weak, according to a large number of scholars of hadith, then that ruling, yani, is, yani, invalid. And what is correct is that it's permissible, but with the condition that a person, if they're going to fast on Arafat while they're performing Hajj, that it shouldn't weaken them to the extent that they won't be able to do what is necessary of them on that particular day. Okay, the last, the end of what we have in this book is hadith number 671 and hadith number 672. And in the English, they are brought together as one hadith, hadith number 567. And these actually are two narrations, but in the English translation, they brought them together. In Arabic, they are separated as hadith number 671 and 672. عن عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صام من صام الأبد. متفق عليه, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. يعني the عبد الله بن عمر, may Allah be pleased with both of them, him and his father, يعني عمر بن العاص رضي الله عنه, the two of them, he said, يعني Abdullah the son said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا صام من صام الأبد, يعني that the one who fast continuously all the time, every day, this person has not fasted at all. The Shaykh says, Al-Abad, it means Al-Dahr, Kullu, يعني that the person fasted every day of their life. And the scholars have some various opinions concerning this hadith also, يعني whether or not it means fasting every day, or does it mean fasting every day except the prohibited days, like the days of Eid, days of Tashriq, and so on. In any case here, يعني Al-Abad, it means Al-Dahr, يعني fasting all the time, every day, with the possible exception of prohibited days of fasting, like the days of Eid. The second narration came, yani, exclusively for Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Qatada, yani from a different narrator, Abi Qatada radiallahu anhu, with the wording, لا صام ولا أفطر, yani that the person who fasted every day of his life, he has not fasted, nor has he broken fast. Yani he's neither in a state of fasting, nor in a state of breaking of fast. He hasn't done either one of them. Naam. The Shaykh says from these two hadith, from the benefits of it, he mentions three points. The prohibition of fasting at dahr, yani continuous fasting every day, fasting every day without breaking fast. That is prohibited. لِمَا يَخَافُ عَلَى الصَّائِمْ مِنَ الْإِنْقِطَاعِ. Yani this is due to what would be feared for the person who fasts like this, yani every day of their life, of yani withdrawal or separation or severance, becoming separated, yani from the people, from society, from social interaction, by fasting every day. And the second point, istihbab adam irhaq an-nafs, that it is yani what commendable, yani it is beloved, that a person not oppress or overburden their self. Yani oppressing oneself by going too far, by doing things that are not required by the Sharia, overburdening oneself, yani this, yani to not do so is mustahab. Yani it's mustahab that we don't do this. Or in other words, you could say, yani it's disliked, or it's makruh that you overburden yourself with that which we have not been burdened with by the Sharia. لِأَنَّ الشَّرِيَةَ مَبْنَاهَا عَلَى التَّيْسِيرِ. Because the Sharia, its foundation that it is built upon, is at taysir, making things easy. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَى وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْأُسْرَى. Yani Allah wants, intends for you ease. And we see that throughout the Sharia, that Allah intends for the people ease. He does not intend for the people difficulty. Therefore, it is disliked that a person overburden themselves and make hardship unnecessarily upon themselves that's not required by the Sharia. And the third point, karahiyati at-tanattu' fi ad-din, yani that it is disliked, it is detestable that a person be obstinate or stubborn or go to the extreme in the matters of deen. But a person should be easy on themselves and be easy on others and not become an extremist, but rather yani take the middle course of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of moderation. And of course, moderation doesn't mean what some people might imagine. That moderation means, and if they say you're extremist, you pray every prayer in the masjid, that's extremism. No, that's not extremism. That's the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't mean by moderation what the people who don't practice Islam consider moderation means don't practice Islam. That's being moderate to them. But we don't mean that. Moderation means yani not going beyond what has been legislated by Allah. Not going beyond the example and the model of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's established in the sunnah. That's what we mean by moderation. Yani sticking to the sunnah, holding fast to the way of the Prophet, the model, the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, also from this hadith, just mention a couple of points. First thing is that this hadith, as is reported in Al-Bukhari, yani here Al-Hafidh mentioned the short form of the hadith, yani he just brought part of the hadith, but the hadith came in Sahih Al-Bukhari, yani that the narrator said, he said that he heard from Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma that it reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani this is Sahih Bukhari hadith number 1977. He said it reached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I used to fast continuously, yani anni asradu as-sawm. I used to fast continuously, wa usalli al-layl, and I used to pray the whole night. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent to me, or I met him. And he sent for me, or I met him. The narrator is not sure what he said. He said, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, have I not been informed that you are fasting and you don't break fast? Meaning you fast every day, continuously. And that you are praying, meaning in the night, all night long, without resting, sleeping. Fasum wa aftir. So fast and break fast. And you don't fast every single day. Fast some days as you like, but fast and break fast, not every day. وَقُمْ وَنَمْ, and stand in the night in prayer, some of the night, and sleep some of the night. For indeed your eyes, they have a right over you, and your body has a right over you, and your family has a right over you, as it came in this narration. And then he said that I said, I'm stronger than that. Yani I could do more than that. And so the Prophet ﷺ said, then fast the fast of Dawood alayhi salam. He said, how is that? He said he used to fast a day, and then he would break fast a day, and he didn't used to run away from meeting the enemy on the battlefield. And then the narrator says, لا أدري كيف ذكر الصيام الأبد. I don't know how the mention of يعني fasting every day, the whole lifetime, a person, how that came into the discussion, but the Prophet ﷺ said, لا صام من صام الأبد. And he said it two times. Yani the person has not fast if he fasts his whole life. And there's some discussion about this, that Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, he didn't say I was fasting every day. He said I used to fast continuously, meaning he used to fast a lot of days at a time. And the Prophet told him, fast some days and break fast some days. Yani don't fast continuously. And in the end of the hadith he said, whoever fasts every single day of their life, then they haven't fasted nor have they broken fast. In Sahih Muslim, similar narration came. Yani, hadith number 1159 in Sahih Muslim, similar narration almost to the end of it, except that he said in this narration of Sahih Muslim, La sama man sama al-abad, wa la sama man sama al-abad, wa la sama man sama al-abad. Yani, he said it three times, the person who, yani, fasts his whole life, he has not fasted at all. Al-Imam al-Nawawi mentions in the explanation of Sahih Muslim, and we're going to stop with this, yani, discussion concerning this particular hadith and its meanings, yani possible meanings. Some of the scholars said, Al-Imam Nawawi says, Ajabu, yani some of the scholars responded to this hadith, that the person who fasts his whole life has not fasted at all. Some scholars said, La sama man sama al-abad, fa ajabu bi ah, yani one of the answers that they gave that this hadith should be understood على حقيقته بأن يصوم معه العيدين والتشريك. وبهذا أجاب عائشة رضي الله عنها. يعني the first answer to this is that the meaning, this hadith is applicable to the person who really, يعني the reality of fasting your whole life means that you never break fast. So this hadith, the first answer that some of the scholars gave to this, in this explanation of Aisha, is that the Prophet ﷺ is prohibiting a person to fast their whole life, meaning that they fast every day, even the days of Eid, even the days of Tashriq, that they never break fast. They fasted every single day, even on prohibited days. This is one explanation of the person who fasts their whole life, then they haven't fasted. That this means if the person never broke fast, they even fasted on the days of Eid. That's one explanation. Meaning that if a person did break fast on the days of Eid, this is not applicable to them. And if they didn't fast on prohibited days, this is not applicable to them. The second answer Al-Imam Nawawi rahimahullah gives, أنه محمول على من تضرر به أو فوت به حقا. يعني that this is applicable to the person who is harmed by fasting every single day. يعني fasting every single day, if it actually caused harm to the person, or it caused them to miss out on some obligations that are upon them. Because of fasting, they were unable to complete their obligation. Then this is يعني how it could be understood. This is the second meaning that Al-Imam Nawawi gave. And the third meaning, أن معنى لا صام أنه لا يجد من مشقته ما يجدها غيره فيكون خبرا لا دعاء. And the third possible meaning is that the meaning of this hadith is that يعني the person hasn't fasted, who fast their whole life, he hasn't fasted, meaning that they would not find the difficulty of fasting that other people fast. يعني meaning they won't be fasting, meaning it won't be like they're fasting. If they fast every day, so there's no, they lost the difficulty of fasting. So it's as though they are not even fasting. And then this, in that sense, the meaning of this hadith is khabaran wa la du'an. Yani it shouldn't be understood that the Prophet is making a du'a against the person who does that, that they don't get no credit for their fasting. Rather, it's just, yani the Prophet is informing what will be the condition of that person who fasts every single day. It will be as though they are not fasting because they will not find any difficulty or any hardship. That's the end of what we wanted to cover. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Some of the topics that we discussed this evening, we didn't discuss them in total complete yani detail because of the hope of trying to complete in the amount of time that we had tonight. So alhamdulillah, we were able to complete it. Like I said, there are some references for some of the matters that a person should go back to, perhaps. And I'll send some notes, yani to those who are on our mailing list for this class, yani to look at some of these issues in a little bit more detail, especially the fasting or the prohibition of fasting on Saturday and what the different scholars said about it, and who, yani, how they understood it. Is it an absolute prohibition, or as the majority of scholars held, yani it's disliked unless yani the person couples it yani with other days, yani before, after, and so on. Second point, before I forget, I'll take a question, but I just want to make sure. Yani, some of you may already know that one of our teachers, yani one of our scholars, Sheikh Khalid Radadi, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, that he's going to be coming to America in a few days from now. And yani, there's a schedule that they have put out for his lectures on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, alhamdulillah, yani for the first time, yani he's going to be lecturing in Brooklyn on Wednesday. Is that correct, Mahmoud? On Wednesday, right? At 7 o'clock? At 7 o'clock at Masjid Ihsan on Fulton Street between St. James and Washington. So whoever lives in Brooklyn has no excuse not to be in Brooklyn. And if you live in the Bronx, you have a little bit of excuse now. Then on Thursday, he's going to be in New Jersey, Piscataway someplace.
Yes.
I don't know the whole schedule. On Friday, he's going to be giving the khutbah at 96th Street, right? And in the evening, he's going to be, is in Quran and Sunnah in Queens? Quran and Sunnah in Queens. And Saturday, he's going to be in New Jersey, in Plainfield, for most of the evening. And then Sunday in Patterson, in the evening. Okay, so I want to mention that in case somebody who didn't know, the Sheikh is from the people of Sunnah that's well known in Medina, to be from the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, well known, yani, as a person of knowledge and character and integrity, and he has visited America before and he's coming, so please, yani, try to catch him on at least one of those days according to your ability. The first day at Masjid Ihsan. Alhamdulillah. Okay, now you have a question, Akhi?
Yes. Fastman said yesterday, he published something,
Absolute prohibition. Yeah, he's saying it's absolutely prohibited to fast on a Saturday unless, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, except that it is a fast that has been made obligatory upon you. And an obligatory fast. If it's a voluntary fast, it's not permissible to fast on a Saturday. Not even coupling it with the day before or the day after. Not even if it's from the days of virtue or whatever. Yani Yawm al-Arafa, Yawm al-whatever. Yani, that's the Shaykh's opinion. Absolute prohibition of fasting on Saturday. Are there other opinions?
Yes.
Naam, we mentioned other opinions. Naam. And some of the scholars said the hadith is yani is not sahih. Ibn Hajar said it's muttarib. And now we said, Imam Malik said that it's munkar. Imam Abu Dawud said that it's mansukh. Yani, there's a lot of yani difference of opinion concerning this. There are a number of scholars who considered it to be authentic, like we said. And most of the scholars said that, or a lot of the scholars said that it is authentic. But yani, what it indicates is the undesirability of singling out Saturday. But otherwise, if you fast it, yani, with other days, then there's no harm in it. Wallahu alam. Yani, from amongst the contemporary scholars, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, Imam ibn Baz, considers yani it to be permissible, as long as you don't single it out. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen also said, from amongst the opinions of the scholars that he accepts, is that it's permissible if you don't single it out. You know, so there are other opinions now, and there's a lot of evidence concerning this. And like I said, a good discussion of it is the discussion between Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, and Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, hafidhahullah, where they discussed it in detail, back and forth, and the different views of the scholars concerning it, each of them yani, expressing their view concerning it. And it seems as though to me it was a very respectful discussion in which yani, both sides were presented.
So where are the opinion that it's only one view alone, and you know, don't
fast. No, there's no one view alone. Absolutely, there's no one view alone. And there's a number of views. There are a number of views concerning it, and there are views of the scholars of Sunnah, and they are legitimate views. So if a person holds the view of Shaykh al-Albani that's prohibited, alhamdulillah, and he has his evidence, very, very strong evidence. If you listen to that discussion, you'll see that. And it's not just this hadith, there are other hadith, and there are also athar from Sahaba, and from the narrator of the hadith, and so on. And he's concerned in this particular issue. So it's not like he just took one hadith, but rather, he has, yani, a compilation of evidences to support his opinion. However, if somebody holds the other view, like I just got finished saying, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz holds the permissibility of fasting on Saturday if you don't single it out. Sheikh Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen also holds permissibility of fasting on Saturday if you don't single it out. So, I mean, there are other views, for sure, there's no doubt about it. If a person doesn't agree with the view of Shaykh al-Albani, they are totally in their right to do so. But a person should review the issue and hear the evidences and the sides of both sides before they come to a conclusion. And it should be based on evidence, not just based on, I like Shaykh al-Albani or I don't like Shaykh al-Albani. I like Shaykh al-Uthaymeen or I don't like Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. It's not a matter of following a personality. It's based on evidence.